Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with Justin Nimmergood. Justin.
What's going on, Bruce? How have you been?
Been good, been well. It's pretty cold and rainy here in Texas. People are getting out the winter gear and flooding Instagram with pumpkin spice and whatnot. But,
what does winter gear in Texas consist of? I mean, I'm not too unfamiliar, but what is it, a fleece? I mean, let's be real, Bruce.
It's the UGG boots and a scarf and leggings. Not for me. I'm still cisgender over here, but yeah, for a lot of ladies out there on Instagram, and I'm actually wearing, should take a picture. We'll be able to do this in the future, but I'm actually wearing a blazer today. Nice little, with a untucked shirt and the jeans. So looking kind of LA, but not too bad here in Texas. How are y'all staying safe out there? It sounds like there's a lot of, concern with the fires and whatnot.
Yeah, you know, and just absolutely, Bruce, I'm glad you brought that up. And obviously, you know, we want to continue to use this forum and this platform, you know, for awareness and for certainly anything that's kind of hitting the national scope. And the fires down here in Southern California, specifically in Ventura County and now Northern LA County, are definitely getting lots of attention, as they should. I mean, several firefighters and firefighter troops and, you know, service volunteers have been deployed there. Lots of homes have unfortunately, you know, burned down to the ground or just left to ashes. So our thoughts and prayers go out to the families and the service volunteers and all the affected people right now. So I know a lot of our listeners are probably in or around the LA area. Our thoughts and prayers go out, you know, to you for sure.
Yes, definitely. And prayers from this way as well. So, in the news and Paradise, California was featured this morning. What a tragic. I know it's further north, but hopefully that'll get under control and the winds will die down and there can be some peace and harmony restored.
Yeah. I hope so. So, you know, before we get into it, I know we've lined up a very dynamic guest for today. I just, obviously, this is one of our few times to catch up. Love to hear, and maybe certainly for the listeners, what's new for Bruce from the last week?
Yeah, really been a busy week, you know, with the coaching, working on setting up what I call a close range sober coaching, recovery coaching engagement. Some similar that folks like Owen Wilson and Matthew Perry have been on record of doing, where you provide not only sober coaching, but sober companionship and kind of a 24-hour paradigm. In the middle of setting up one of those engagements, which is kind of good because I retired from the federal prison system and that's kind of what we did anyway. Home confinement and stuff like that. So it's kind of like home confinement with a therapeutic edge to it. So, what else? I have found myself doing a lot of interventions. I'm batting 11 for 11 right now. I know, man. And that's just been an unintended consequence of being in this kind of recovery space with, you know, C-suite and celebrities and stuff like that, and just really encouraging people to get the help that they need by bringing the facts in such a clear, cogent, and forceful way.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's kind of what's new in Bruce land, kind of kind of get to do stuff. And but look, at the end of the day, get people to a better place, because they're self-destructing. I mean, a lot of people are just, not only is it the self-limiting behaviors that we look at as coaches, but they're also just killing themselves with their acting out and chemicals, and sadly they're taking their families down with them. So and loved ones and friends and et cetera. So yeah, it's good to kind of get back in there, kind of a blast from my past, but kind of get in there and apply those old skills to a new day and help some people in the front.
That's awesome. Very exciting work. And I know much needed in the marketplace right now, you know, fascinating stuff. It looks like you've been putting some new programs together. Good for you, man.
Yeah. It's been, really, really good. I noticed that you've been going to some conferences and getting involved in your startup and in your business. And
yeah,
you've been doing your own thing very well as well. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, thanks. I won't take up too much time because I know we have an exciting guest on. But I mean, for me, especially the last couple weeks, I've actually finally been grounded. So for those listeners that do follow my social journey, I was on quite a travel tear there for several weeks on the road, visiting various sales reps that are part of my new project and engagement with a software company called Vablet, Vablet. And it's been an exciting, dynamic, you know, project, really enjoying it. So, you know, obviously going in face to name and shaking hands and kissing babies was a big part of that first couple months of the project. Now as we get closer to the holidays, it's really hunkering down here in Southern California, close to their headquarters, so focusing a lot of effort there, obviously weekly on our radio show here with Bruce, and then obviously any and every coaching opportunity I get, you know, one off, very much a part of the daily and weekly habits and rituals, if you will. So it's been fun. I'm grounded for the next couple weeks, knock on wood, until Thanksgiving anyway, and then San Francisco and a couple other cities after there. And then I think rumor has it anyway that we might be spending the holidays in or the Christmas holidays anyway in Dallas. So we'll have to make sure we connect while we're out there too.
For sure.
But yeah, that's what's up with me, you know, these days. So lots going on, and just always excited to help and to serve.
Well, that is fantastic, and glad to see you on the march with your programs as well, and you know, it's just exciting to see what you're doing. Get a lot of vicarious pleasure, you know,
you're too kind. You're too kind, Bruce.
It's like so fun to see, and so I've been, it's a good pairing here. Well, without further ado, we have a special guest with us today, and I know our listeners are chomping at the bit to hear Naomi and get to know her and hear about her and what she's doing. I know I am as well. So we have Naomi. I don't want to blow it. Is it Marin? You say it that way, or?
Yes, Naomi Marin.
Marin.
Yeah. Right. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah. Thank you for coming on the show. So I guess, like we do with most of our guests, if you could just tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're doing, and we'll just kind of take it from there.
Yes. Well, thank you for having me on this Monday. And yes, so I started off a little of my background, early background is doing makeup. Started off actually from playing sports. Ignited. My mom, you know, I'd always used to admire her from putting on makeup on the way, dropping me off at school. And Martha, if you're hearing this, you know, you influenced me. And just from, you know, seeing my mom, I am a product of a single mother. So the age of 3 years old, my parents divorced, and, you know, love my father, Caesar, who actually works in the tech world. And once they separated, you know, my mom and I kind of became this unit, this team. And so she worked as a branch, a bank manager for actually as a regional manager for a couple locations all throughout Los Angeles. So she was really busy, also working an evening job. So I think my mom purposely put me in sports, not as incentives to get me active, but just as it was a babysitter. And so that's how sports and all that kind of like motivation and determination and discipline was instilled in me. I mean, she put me in every sport you can think of. And it just so happened every sport that had that time frame after school, it was a coach that had formerly been an Olympian or a professional athlete. So I got the most tough of the toughest out of the groups when it came to coaches.
I'm looking at your picture, and honestly, I'm not thinking sports, but
yeah, that's yeah. You know, everyone would make fun of me because it was the only the eyeliner dripping down her face running on the court.
So which sports were did you like the best? Which one or two did you favor?
Basketball. Yeah, okay. Basketball. I started that from the age of about 7 years old up until high school. But track really kind of got my favoritism in high school. And I did sprinting. So 100 and 200 was pushing it a meter. Right. And that's how I got, a lot of discipline. I had Coach Kim from basketball, Burbank High School Bulldogs. And we did pretty well for a good 2 years. I think that was probably the toughest time in my life that I had as far as a lot of sweat and tears.
Okay.
Coach me a lot, and not just from that sport, but as well as soccer. I did some swim. My mom put me in choir. I mean, anything that was after school activities, I was signed up.
Well, good.
Yeah.
That sounds like she kept you busy, and you stayed busy and tired and doing homework and made it through. So that's good to hear. So, tell us how you started your beauty career and some of the motivations.
So the beauty career sparked when I was in middle school. I started doing probably the age of 12, doing nails. I was really intrigued with the nail design industry at the young age. And then that kind of gave gateway to hair and makeup. And once I started doing hair and makeup for free for friends in middle school, and I kind of did my own little business of entrepreneurship of, my mom found downtown LA, I was selling like jewelry pieces at my schools, inside the restroom stalls, I was taking orders. And then that's when I started getting amazed by the hair piece accessories. And then I started getting paid by the parents of, my fellow students that I was going to the high school dances. And from there, I just started to make my own business cards because my cousin actually launched her own business card business. And then I just started handing them out like nothing. And that's what just caught on so much when it came to makeup with MAC Cosmetics. After that, after high school, I applied for MAC Cosmetics for nearly over probably a dozen times up until they got tired of me just bugging them over and over and being persistent. And they finally hired me in 2007. So I was there for about 9 years. And once I reached my peak there, I started to do a beauty business coaching about in 2014 and started my business in 2015, my agency.
Okay. So let's talk about West. Sounds like a nice progression, kind of cut your teeth in the retail space. I'm assuming that's what you did for MAC, right? Was in the
more
retail thing. And and then you transitioned there to beauty coaching. What does that mean? Tell us what that means. Sounds like an exciting.
Yes, it is because, move. I found it, I kind of went on, I thought I was going downhill once I didn't get to play any sports in college. And that I kind of went into a little depression mode after high school, and I never really told anybody about it. I think this is the first time I'm speaking about it, because when you're so active in high school and being on varsity and being the most, active in your life, and then you kind of you hit a wall you know, in college and you're just going to school and you work, but you have nothing else to kind of fill your bucket in because you're not as active anymore physically. So I kind of turned that into and use that as ammo for beauty business coaching. And I always thought about it, and there's nothing really in the market for having beauty professionals learn. And that goes into knowing how to market yourself, how to have your knowing finances. Hello?
Yep. Yeah, I'm here.
But yes, knowing finances and just more so, I mean, think about it. We're artists, you know, beauty professionals have always had that stigma of just not having that business mindset. And I learned it very early on from my mom. You know, she was really tight on money. I could never get, you know, more than one pair of shoes a year. So that's why I started learning how to make money. And a lot of it taught me from fundraising, from basketball, soccer uniform, when you have your campaigns to be raising, selling candies. So I really wanted to take that and use that to show beauty professionals that you need to learn how to be managing your own brand, because you can work for as many corporations as possible, but it takes 1 second for them to, you know, 86 and cut you off. And what are you left with? You're left with nothing. Basically, and you have to start from the bottom again, work up the ladder. But it's like, why might as well make your own ladder, make your own steps, you know, because if you follow that system and you embed that into your, you know, what is it that your ambition, your motivation, you need it every day, just like food to fuel you up. And that's what I wanted to, and that's what I still want to, you know, just make known to the world, is that beauty professionals, not just beauty professionals, but any women, especially men who want to transition and do whatever it is that they want to do, that they need to start working on themselves, personal development. But my focus and my audience is targeted towards beauty professionals.
Okay, so let's talk about that at a closer range. You know, it sounds like there's a coaching component to this venture as well, what you're doing. And if you could kind of talk about, you know, at 10,000 feet, talk about maybe a typical client, who that person is, what their goals are, and how you uniquely get them to a better place.
Yes. So yeah. As a coach, just being coached, I mean, you can't be a coach unless you've been coached, you know, and exactly. You can't be a coach unless you've been coached.
Exactly.
You take that, and having that, you know, as the coach, you know, keeping my players, meaning my clients, you know, I take it into a sport. I take it as my basketball players, and, you know, keeping them motivated at all times, you know, holding players accountable, you know, for motivating themselves and one another. So that's how I started, you know, when I have my five course system, is that I bring on a client that is not necessarily an extrovert. I really target more of the introverts. And the reason why is because I was an introvert. So I can relate more, that I was never the type of person to speak out, to speak up for myself, up until probably about 3 years ago when I got fired from MAC Cosmetics. Now we'll get into that later. And learning that was just having that and targeting, you know, my audience and my clients is more so of just not knowing how to speak up for themselves in their environment, especially workplace. They want to transition to being independent contractors. So they can either be professionals that are working in, you know, a beauty salon or working for a makeup retailer or a hair product retailer. And, or they can just be working for a fashion, you know, corporation. As long as they want to tap into the makeup industry, I'm there to help them along the way to get started in that. And then usually the process is five courses, and that intends about a good 35 to 40 hours of intense training, obviously on five different days. And that would embed, though, having a 6 month goal to a year. And once they reach up to that year, you know, of doing a lot of sweat equity when it comes to assisting me on, you know, photo shoots, assisting, you know, multiple days on to be doing weddings, makeup and hair, also volunteering, giving back to communities, and practicing their skill set in makeup artistry and hair artistry. You know, I really embed that as well, is having people on my team that are also going to be giving back to the communities, shelters, hospitals, anyone that is in need, because in the end, if you give enough people, you'll be able to receive a lot more. So.
Okay. So it sounds like, if I'm hearing this right, sounds like your primary clients are beauty professionals themselves.
Correct.
And these beauty professionals that you work with might be going out on their own or have their own service or their own proprietary business, or they may be also in the retail space or in a, you know, working for another, like you said, like, yes, if I'm Valley Beauty Supply down here or something.
Yes. And you know what? That's the excitement. That's the fun about it, because I take it and I express it to them. I'm like, okay, think of it as an activity, a sport. Your main thing that you're so obsessed about, like, you have to have this as an obsession. You can't treat this as a hobby, because if you're just treating this as a hobby, we're wasting each other's time, you know? And when it comes, and I target a lot, not even target, but I want to attract a lot of those individuals who are seeking more in their lives, because at the end of the day, it's like, it's your sanity.
Right.
You know, dragging feet, going to an employer, your position or a job that you're just dreading, because I was like that. I was in that position in corporation, not just for MAC Cosmetics. I worked for a couple of other makeup companies, and I just was not feeling the appreciation, like the empathy, the coaching, the management style. And so I just, you know, kind of ran with it and just started to doing beauty coaching. And that actually started accidental by mentoring young women. When I was at volunteering nonprofit organizations, primarily for sex trafficking victims, you know, I had two gals that really had this interest for being mentored. And I was like, okay, I'll teach you how to be doing makeup and hair, so you can, this can distract you from all the negativity in your life.
Right.
And that's where I got started with. So that hits.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic, because, you know, because there is a distinction, because I didn't know, honestly, myself, I didn't realize that you worked with other beauty professionals. I was thinking you were working with kind of the end user, you know what I mean? The person who wants to look better, whatever, which I'm sure you do that as well. But that's, and again, it sounds like you've made a really seamless transition from moving from MAC. And I know there's a lot of people I know down here that work for Ulta and other things, and, you know, the kind of the big box places. So this is an interesting market that is probably with thousands of women and some men too.
Yeah.
To say the men aren't in the space as well, but that is an industry, very interesting industry. So if you were to say that your business has a mission statement, what is the mission statement, you think? What is the mission?
The mission statement, I'd say, is, you know, if you have that fire and you have that obsession about that particular, you know, product or, you know, activity or whatever it is, go for no. And with my beauty business coaching, I promise you, guarantee all money back. If you do not feel that you have potentially just grown, and not just within your numbers about your bank account, it's not about the bank account, it's about your personal growth. Meaning, are you that much better waking up and feeling a lot more empowered, a lot more motivated? Are you a go-getter versus before when you started with me? And that's scaled out by how much you are engaged with, you know, and how I monitor all of that is by, you know, getting them started with taking action, you know, getting up early in the mornings, you know, having them check in with me right before, you know, when they're starting my system or my courses, checking in with me, having them check in daily when it comes to their goal setting. What is it they're listening to? Are they listening to a lot of motivational speakers? Are they reading literature? And at the end of my courses, see of where, you know, their places.
Okay.
And their life and scene.
And yeah. I was curious, if you don't mind sharing, what are the five areas? You said you put your folks through kind of these five content areas. Can you share some of those areas that are kind of cornerstones of your program?
I'm sorry, there's poor connection. Can you repeat that?
Yeah. You said that there's five areas that you put your clients through that seem like they're kind of cornerstones for your program.
I'm sorry, Bruce. It's repeat that one more time.
Sure. It sounds like there's five areas that you put your clients through as part of the treatment program or part of the coaching program.
Yes. The phases?
Yes. What are the, can you share some of those phases? Like what are they?
So I have three different tiers. So there is the beauty business coaching, which is the first tier. So if you're first starting off in, let's say you're not in the beauty industry and you want to tap into it, you start with the beauty business coaching. So that's the baseline. That's the first tier. And then the middle tier is that's when you would have graduation courses. So once you complete that course, that's when you can elevate to the second course, which is called professional beauty business coaching. That's mastering. Okay. And then mastering, that's when you get to a level of, okay, you've already passed my courses. You're currently either already accomplished your cosmetology license or in the process of getting that, because that is required within my courses, that off-site for my courses, you enroll in cosmetology. And then the third one is your elite coaching. And that is when you have already, I've helped you develop your website, that comes into your branding, your marketing, teaching you how to network, tap into building your partnerships of your branding as an independent contractor. So those are the three, different phases that I have for my coaching.
Yeah, so it sounds like you have the content as well as the formal business coaching components to your program.
I apologize. Can you repeat that again?
Yes, it sounds like you have the content as well as the business. You're doing business coaching as well.
The content?
Yeah, you're doing business.
Sorry, this is it's a bit frustrating. Sorry about that.
Let me do something here. So it sounds like you're doing business coaching as well, which is really good.
Yes.
We've got it. So the content. So you have content as well as the coaching program, correct?
The coach. I think we're good.
Okay.
Hello. Hi.
Hey. All right. We'll just kind of see who's here. I know.
Yes.
Everyone's here still.
Okay, good. Technology.
Sorry. That's a really good overview. It sounds like a really comprehensive program. You're doing lots of different levels of coaching as well as the formal business coaching. And I like the fact that you're having your people have a cosmetology degree or background in order, you know what I mean, to be present.
Yes. Yeah. You know, I think it's quite necessary because accountability is important. And a lot of people can just, you know, put out their goals, write down their goals. But if there's no action taken, then what's the purpose?
Right.
You know, and especially in this nation, everyone knows that, you know, people will come after you.
Right.
You don't have that professional background.
Right. And I like that you're an industry area specialist. I mean, this is a very refined area. So that's awesome. And it's not so broad that, you know, things get lost. So I was going to also ask about some of the, obstacles that you might have faced, you know, when you were getting into the beauty industry. I know you talked about a prior job and whatnot, but talk about some of the obstacles that you faced getting into the space.
Yes. And, you know, first and foremost, I am so appreciative and thankful for all the obstacles and challenges I've had. And I'd say the real obstacles really hit. That's when I stepped out of my comfort zone, meaning that I started to speak up for myself. Having a voice in the workplace was when I worked at MAC Cosmetics. And, you know, I had a former, you know, a manager, a supervisor that was just, she was brutal. I think we've all had experienced one of those in our workplace, but, you know, she was just unprofessional and she just made life very, very difficult working there. And so from that, I learned how to, you know, not just say yes, be a yes person, but I learned to be a no person. And that's something that I never thought I would, you know, have is speaking up. So that was probably like my fifth year being with MAC Cosmetics, and which I most was so appreciative of just the opportunity that MAC Cosmetics gave. But at the same time, there was a price to pay. You know, in sales, I think that was most difficult was learning the sales part, working for corporations. You know, if you didn't meet your quotas, your goals, you know, you were either written up or you were fired. And I saw a lot of the transition happen with MAC Cosmetics, in which I am deeply grateful for. But that goes in any corporation. That goes for any Ulta, Sephora's, other makeup companies, is that this time that I was tapping into the beauty industry, it was really like you need to make your goal or you're axed. So that really taught me to reaching for my goals. And I took that and I ran with it. And I was like, okay, this is like, I gotta score points or else we lose this game. So I used that as ammo and turned it into a positive. You know, if I didn't make the most and I wasn't selling the most SPH sales per hour, AUS average unit sale, that I was a loser. So those were the challenges that I took on in corporate and embed and now instill them into my coaching. Not necessarily if you don't make your sales goal, but more of like, hey, if you don't reach your X amount of clients, beautify this 5 to 10 clients this week, we are not proceeding with this coaching series. Okay. So keeping people accountable, you know, and with that, so those obstacles, so that kind of steered me into now going international with my presence.
We'll get into the international thing here in a minute. Now, 5 years, it took you 5 years. Like what was it?
Yeah.
Finally, at 5 years, you said, that's it.
I snapped. I snapped. I went off on the manager and, you know, that didn't go too well. So I had to get transferred. And, you know, that transfer hit, that really took a toll on me. I thought I was just the worst employee. But, you know, everyone on the rest of the team applauded me. And we're like, finally, you spoke up to the bully the floor. And so that after that, I transitioned to a different location. And that was the best thing, a blessing in disguise ever happened. And from there, I just learned from the best artists. They closed down that store with MAC Cosmetics in Beverly Hills. And then that's when I kind of launched myself and just propelled into being an independent contractor. Back in 2008, I had the opportunity to go, to Spain, in which we'll tap into later. So I already started prepping 2 years in just being my, you know, independent contracting, started doing weddings, any type of photo shoots, any type of like income that would come in through the beauty industry, not affiliated with MAC Cosmetics. And, you know, and not just with MAC Cosmetics, I learned so much from them. And I was faced with a lot of just scrutiny when I left. I feel just from, I didn't have And you know, when you leave a corporation, you think those fellow colleagues and your neighbors are going to be there, but it's like you're left alone, you know, because it's you against them. And I feel that that's the issue, is that in any corporation, right. You know, if you leave a, let it be. And my mom was axed too, you know, from her bank, you know, when they took over, and it was a horrible feeling. And my mom didn't admit this till like years later, you know, telling her, she's like, oh yeah, honey, by the way, I wasn't laid off. I was fired. I was like, oh my gosh, for what? Like, and something pity of just, you know, it was an excuse to fire someone because of the budget costs. Yeah. So those were, you know, so learning those type of obstacles and being alone and being that loner really kind of messes with you. But if you take that, you know, time that you've had alone and just turn it into a positive and use that as ammunition to, you know, to push yourself and propel, I think that's beneficial.
There's one thing here that I wanted to, I guess, dig a little deeper on with you, which is you brought up around, hey, you know, even in a corporate context, you're required to sell a certain amount or you have certain measurements. But I think you hit on a really important point, Naomi, which is, hey, even if you're your own boss, you start your own company, there's a certain standard that you must uphold to. Because at the end of the day, if you're not out getting new clients or at least piquing interest of new prospects each and every day, you're not going to have a business. You're not going to be able to put food on the table. So, I mean, is there just any, let's say, one particular tip that you could just share that has stuck with you through your entrepreneurial ventures that you can share with the listeners out there that has helped you not only build but maintain a profitable business?
Yes. I would say one thing that should keep as something to just keep you on your toes is regret. And regret, I mean that you can tell yourself that you want to do something so bad and today's the day I'm going to put in my 2 weeks or I'm going to put in my resignation or I'm going to go on that trip overseas or I'm going to do what I set out to do. And then you don't do it. Waking up every day and having that regret and having that guilt instilled in you will kill you. And it won't kill you quickly. It'll kill you slowly. And I had that for a couple of months. And I've known a couple people, actually quite more than a handful, that were stuck in that place and just, fuck, there has to be some, I have to do something about this. And life will hit you really hard and you'll question, why did this happen? Why now? I lost my job. Oh my God, they laid me off. I have nothing. And I focus so much on what I didn't have for the longest versus until like, I took a step back. I was like, this is what I have. And I have the opportunity, especially living in this nation. You know, you're going to find so many various excuses of just why not to do something. Why not? Well, because I don't have time. I'm too busy. But it's like, you make that time and you're not always going to have that time to, you know, attend parties and attend the clubs and go out drinking. And you're going to have to, that's going to have to take a back seat. And only back seat is you're going to have to be a driver. You can only be the driver if you don't have that regret, because I've had that regret and that just, I'm sure you guys have had that feeling.
Absolutely.
So yeah. I think to any entrepreneur, like just get started, take action. Take action. How? Start getting your ass up early in the mornings and taking a walk around the block when the sun, before the sun rises, you know, reading that literature, playing Jim Rohn and Tony Robbins and Les Brown and Mark Cuban in the background when you're brushing your teeth. So hopefully that.
Yeah.
Not just one tip, but a couple.
Yeah. I think you bring up, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs don't have the resilience. They just don't have the resilience. So, you know, they start off and if things don't happen their way, you know, if I build it, they will come. And sometimes it takes a while for the business to come, and you need to get out there and you need to do those things that you're talking about, you know what I mean? And then,
yeah,
but it's
definitely,
It is interesting. I mean, I'm in a similar position. I mean, I retired from the Justice Department, started my own practice, and had to do all that stuff, and still do it to some degree. You know what I mean? There's no rest for the weary when you own your own business or an entrepreneur, because you're thinking about the next right decision. You know?
Yes.
And that's always on your mind. But yet we do have more internal locus of control. Can set the schedule, and you have a lot more, I think, a lot more personal freedom. Anyway, we don't want too much time to last before we talk about what's going on with your business venture to Spain and what's going on with that.
Yes. So that actually was supposed to, I was supposed to originally go with a dear friend of mine back in 2008. She had already bought her ticket one way to Spain, Madrid specifically. And you know, last minute, I backed out. You know, I backed out on the commitment I had with her to go, and she was the only one that left. And since 2008, I had a lot of regret. That's why I go back to regret of not going and taking that opportunity to go out and just travel, you know, meet different people around the world, interact, eat, you know, get to know, you know, my ancestry, because I believe we are Spanish, you know, and just not have, just drop what I'm doing and just leave and explore. And so a couple years later, so in 2015, I took the initiative when I broke up with an ex-boyfriend. I was in a place that, you know, all sobbing and, you know, sad. And sure enough, a client of mine, Betty, I was giving her a blow dry at the salon, at Union Salon, Pasadena. And I remember I was telling her, I really want to go to Spain. She's like, why don't you buy the ticket right now? I'm like, no, like I'll buy it next month. And I put it off. She's like, no, I will give you double the tip of what I'm paying today if you buy your tip right, if you buy your one-way ticket right now.
Kind of a
and
Tony
sure
Paul.
Enough, and sure enough, and she was the tightest client I've ever had. And sure enough, I bought the ticket on Apple desktop that I had at the Union Salon. I bought the one way to Spain. So then that's when I started 10 months out. I bought the one way, and I just was ruthless in everything that I did with my business. I was such a penny pincher when to saving. I surprised myself because I in no way did my mom have any financial backing for me or my parents, you know, hey, we'll help you. It's like, oh no, you're on your own. So from then I started using Instagram. Solely Instagram was that only marketing and networking tool I used to reach out to business owners, wedding vendors, influencers, anyone that was tapped into Instagram, I reached out to. And I did a lot with postings. I did a lot, not just with hashtags, but I started doing direct messaging DMs in 2014, before it was popular. And I just started with that resilience of going at and just marketing, networking. I would get up at 2 a.m., you know, to make those calls to Spain because I wanted to catch them before they went on siesta, you know, and just speak with them and let them know that, you know, I am coming and, you know, be ready and I'm ready to work. And sure enough, when I touched down there, it was pretty tough. It was pretty tough. When I touched down there, I was lost. I thought they had a Craigslist listing or Airbnbs that would extend your stay for months at a time. No, I was fortunate enough to meet, I call them godsend angels, you know, that helped me find a place to live, just welcomed me into their homes as far as family, introduced me to salon owners, any type of beauty professionals that were in the industry, and just connected me from there. So it just became like a spider web when I landed in Spain. And it did take about a good solid 3 months to get, known there.
Wow. What is the Spanish mold in terms of how they conduct business, and were you able to integrate into that culture?
Yes. So typically in Spain, that in Barcelona, where I was based, is that everyone majority of the time gets paid the same baseline, meaning that you're paid within probably about 800 euro to probably 1200 euro a month. And that's the same. You'll get paid as much as a waitress at or a bartender at a pretty busy, you know, location in Barcelona. We'll get paid as an engineer. So a hairstylist, as you can imagine, doesn't really make, you know, unless you are well known there and a celebrity stylist, getting more than 1500 to 2000 euro a month. So the cost of living is cheaper, but at the same time, it's like you're kind of stuck, wow. You know, because you have to spend it on so much and, you know, all of just living expenses, rent and whatnot. So getting there and being an American, I thought I was going to come in, you know, kind of had that, you know, press like, hey, I got my website done, got my cards ready. I'm big on Instagram, like who knows? But sure enough, oh no, right when I walked into a salon owner who was Catalan, he straight up told me, he was like, nope, this is your base that I will give you is 1,000 euro. I know you get paid in, you know, in America, but this is in America. You're in a different land. So get used to it. And I listened. You know, he mentored me. I was grateful for the sweat equity and the tears that I shed almost daily. You know, just getting so much ridicule from the peers there. I was working with, you know, two Russians, a French, south of France, a Colombian, an Italian from Rome, and all these women were alphas. So you can imagine just the type of, you know, hard ships they put on me when it came to not knowing the language too much, because it is Castellano, not Espanol, they speak out there. And just their style of how they, you know, they treated, not just how they did their styling hair, but how they treated their clients, you know, how to be servicing them, how to be hospitable. You know, even though I didn't gain too much of the artistry skills, I learned so much when it came to the hospitality, you know, how to greet someone in the Spanish way. And this came from a whole background of just learning how to negotiate with hairstyling distributors, how to be networking in an environment full of politicians in Spain. So I really learned a lot in those aspects, more of the politics, the negotiating business versus practical hairstyling skills.
Wow.
So
what a great,
yeah, I can go on and on. Man,
what a great time. I know we're down to about 3.5 minutes, so I want to make sure that we get as much in. I know we want to have you tell our listeners how they can reach you and all your social media inputs. But real quick, I wanted to go back a little bit and tell us some of the success stories or about a couple of clients you've worked with and, you know, the real flash case study of where they started and where they are now and how you're able to get them there.
Yes. So one of my rock star players, Stephanie, she actually was one of my clients from 3 years ago. She was working at, let's say, a shoe retailer store. She was dragging feet. Her parents, you know, and especially in the Hispanic culture, you are to go to college, you know, follow your, you know, footsteps when it comes to following the line. And she just followed me the past 3 years. And now she has gained her cosmetology license. She has transitioned out of her retail into now working at Dry Bar, and she is just moving up that ladder. And then I have another client that I was coaching in Florida, and this was when I was living in Spain. She has now ventured off and being the creative director for her own agency, which she started with the Versace Mansion. They're based in Florida.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. And then one more is, let's say, I have one of my gals. She was based in Ohio. Mm-hmm. She had recently just lost her mother months before, and she found me on Instagram, you know, simply by the hashtag beauty coach. And I coached her complimentary, you know, free of charge for about 4 sessions. And sure enough, now she's a nail technician and assisting people, assisting nail tech professionals who are doing New York Fashion Week, working London, Paris. So those are just a couple.
And another aspect I think you have some brands that are paying you to promote their products, right?
Yes. So that taps into the influencer part. And I started off with, you know, knowing just aligning myself, partnering up with vegan, animal cruelty, paraben, sulfate-free hair products, makeup products, who are on the mission of just, you know, seeking out better treatment, you know, smarter and eco-friendly.
Awesome.
Yeah, missions for their product and brands. So not necessarily always about, you know, getting, you know, money, 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 but it's aligning with people who do have the same, you know, vision as
right.
you.
Right. Well, that's awesome. Well, great. Well, that takes us just about to the end of the show. So Naomi, how can our listeners find you if they?
Yes. Well, they can, the most platform, social media platform that I'm active on is Instagram, and that is Naomi, N-A-O-M-I. M-U-A. And my website, www.naomimarineartistry.com. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Naomi, thank you so much for coming on the show today. It's just been a pleasure to hear about your experience, and you're just, you know, just an inspiration.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah.
Many, many, many others. And we've had a lot of interest, a lot of calls about the show today. So I'm sure that we're going to be getting a lot of listeners downloading the podcast on iTunes once it hits our iTunes site. So folks, don't forget to watch or not watch yet, but listen to our show on LA Talk Radio. We're archived at our site, and also we're on iTunes. So if you want to download the show at any time, anywhere, you can do that for free. We've covered that cost for you in advance. And also, we are at The Concierge Coaches on Instagram, and we are on Facebook as well at The Concierge Coaches Show, and on LinkedIn. We have a fledgling LinkedIn company page, so please come by and there, because I can't figure out how to add people, so please find us. What can I say? And all right, Justin, we'll have you do the close.
Yeah, thanks everyone. So as Bruce mentioned, we're out everywhere now, or pretty much. So check us out. And for any of the listeners out there, you know, we would love to hear from you, right? Bubble up some of your thoughts, your suggestions for topics, or perhaps if you met a really dynamic speaker or personality, we'd love to hear from you. That's really the name of the game. We're trying to build not just, you know, a channel on the radio show, but also a community. So thank you so much for everyone for the time today, and we look forward to seeing you again, same time, same place, next week.
Take care, buddy.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.